Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Hoke has joined us in studio here. And Hokie, you were right last week. And you reminded me during the game that you were right. that it might be a tough night for the Steelers and that the Browns were going to win. But all I'll say is this. It was 14-7 in the fourth quarter.
It was.
And the Steelers had three possessions to try and tie that game.
And they turned the ball over twice?
Yes.
Two interceptions
and
thrown,
once on downs.
And once on downs. And listen, it's tough to go on the road and win the NFL. I've said that over and over and over again. And then go on a short week with a first-year starter at quarterback without a run game, really, to speak of. It's very difficult to win the NFL, much less on the road.
All right, forget the game. Let's get to what really.
Talking about drama, don't you?
What do you think about what happened at the end of the game? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Nothing.
And let's start at the beginning. You know, when Rudolph gets tackled.
Yeah.
Take it from there. Who's responsible for what?
Well, I want to go deeper than that because you think about it. They get the ball. It's 21-7 with just a couple minutes left in the game, right? And you talk about first down. He gets sacked by Ogunjobi, however you say it, Ogunjobi. Then he gets sacked by Joe Schobert. So first down sack, second down sack, right? Third down, which should have been the last play of the game. And he dumps the ball off to Trey Edmonds, and here comes Myles Garrett. Now you have Myles Garrett coming off the left side of the Steelers' offensive left side, and then you have Schobert coming again off a screaming off a blitz up the middle. Nobody touched him. Then you have Myles Garrett that hits him, and Schobert pops him and then turns around and runs to the ball. Myles Garrett thinks that he needs to hold on to Mason Rudolph and then spin around and tackle him and then roll on top of him when he's on the ground. Now, if you watch what Joe Schobert popped him and then turned around and ran. That's what Myles Garrett should have done. But that's how this whole thing started. So now you got a Mason Rudolph who's been sacked first down, second down. Now, third down, you got a guy who's doing a little extra business on him that he shouldn't be doing. Well, of course he's going to be pissed off. I mean, wouldn't you be mad? And then now he's trying, you got a guy who's probably – can't even lift 135 pounds bench press, and Mason Rudolph trying to get, Myles Garrett off him, and Myles Garrett's just laying on him, and then Myles Garrett loses his mind. So people want to say that Mason Rudolph started this. I absolutely, unequivocally disagree.
Thank you.
I disagree. I mean, Myles Garrett took him to the ground. He did him extra business. If you want to see the play, go back and look at the film. Joe Schobel, the linebacker came screaming up the middle. He did what he was supposed to do. He popped him, let him know his presence was felt, and then turn around to the ball. Myles Garrett should have done that. And that's where this whole thing started.
All right. So now it gets to that point. And Garrett rips his helmet off, which can't be a very comfortable feeling. That would have to hurt a little bit.
Oh, man.
I would think. Rudolph's going to end up being fine because he jumped and then went after him.
Yeah.
And I can see why he's going to be fine. Because by that point, it looked like DeCastro had things under control, and then Garrett loses his mind totally with the helmet swing. What did you make of that whole thing with Pouncey jumping?
Yeah, I just thought Myles Garrett hitting him in the head, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, that is again, it's all been out there. It's assault. It's going beyond anything that anybody could imagine that would take place on a football field. And so I think that his penalty should have been a little more stiff. I think they should have put him out for a whole season. Till week 10 of 2020. Wow. I mean, it was egregious. Here's what's happening now. As things happen, and with social media and with how it's being replayed over and over again, what's the message that's being sent? If the NFL doesn't come down harshly and swiftly, then it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. You have to send a message that this will not happen again. And fortunately, or unfortunately, depends what side of the coin you land on, the NFL came down quickly and harshly. You got to send a message that's unacceptable and will not be tolerated in the NFL. And then when that happens, I thought the most cowardly thing that happened. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, cowardly thing that happened was Ogunjobi when he comes down and hits a helmetless quarterback, not even looking at you,
blindside.
And you blindside him. And you got a 300-plus guy thinking he's a tough guy for hitting Mason Rudolph. That's, to me, that is the most cowardly thing you can do. And so really just two things on the Brown side that I think you just cannot tolerate. And Pouncey, he lost his mind. And listen, Pouncey is the ultimate teammate. And I'm not saying – I'm not going to say that, you know, Pouncey doesn't deserve any blame or that Pouncey's completely free of any criticism. I mean, he did lose his mind. He did punch and he did kick, and there needs to be some kind of punishment for that. But I'll tell you what, the Steelers, his respect level has gone up tenfold, hundredfold for what he did, because Pouncey has always been – I played with Pouncey, I think his first year or two. Pouncey is the ultimate teammate. He's a great guy. He's friendly to everybody. He's a good locker room guy. He's a great leader. And that he is the epitome of a wonderful teammate.
Now, Okungbowale appealed. He got a one-game suspension. Mm-hmm. Appealed. League says denied. He's out for a game. Pouncey's out for three. Appealed. We're hoping to get word today. Maybe reduced to two.
Yeah.
Would you think two is fair? Is three too much?
I think, in my opinion, one. If you're going to give Okungbowale, which is really just a cowardly play, I think he needs to go down to one.
But Hokie, I got to play devil's advocate. He kicked a defenseless man when he was.
Well, number one, I don't think he really kicked him. I think he kicked like someone's hand or leg or something. But yeah, he tried to kick.
He was kicking at his
head. He was trying to kick.
DeCastro had him under
control.
Yeah,
but let me tell you something though. This guy, you got to think about.
I get it. I think he scored more points, not just in his locker room, probably around the whole NFL.
Yeah,
I just think coming to his teammate that way.
I said earlier he is not beyond criticism for what he did. I mean, kicking him is. You know, he shouldn't be kicking people in the head on the football field. I just think that one game, I believe in a game check fine, I think is sufficient, in my opinion. Now, everybody wants to argue, and you can take devil's advocate, but that's my opinion for what he did. I mean, you cannot compare anything, though, to what Myles Garrett did by taking that helmet off and swinging it as a weapon.
Chris Hoke, presented by Solomon Auto Group. So the way you spoke of Okungbowale, that being the most cowardly act, I would imagine – that people in that locker room feel the same way. Will there be any retribution? Will that be on anybody's mind when the rematch happens?
Listen, within the whistles, people are going to try to get him. Nothing outside the whistles.
Even if the game gets out
of
hand?
Yeah, no, I think that's – then what you're going to do is the NFL is going to watch this game with a microscope. And if you even breathe on someone inappropriately, they're going to fine you. They're going to kick you out of the game. They're going to try to suspend you. They're going to make sure that nothing happens. But what between the whistles, absolutely. If they can take him, they'll take him. They'll get a nice little shot on him and put a helmet on him if he's not looking. That's just football. If it's between the whistles and it's not illegal, it's a legal hit where you can hit him and take him down. But I don't think you'll have a guy, an offensive lineman, that will try to go out of their way to hit him in the back or do something cheap to him.
Too much at stake, too, in those games. Yeah. I mean, it could be. What do you Mason Rudolph yesterday at first brought up, said we lost two guys to targeting. Juju got knocked out. Deontay Johnson got knocked out. Was it Demarius Randall?
Randall.
He got thrown out. And then later Rudolph was asked if that factored into him losing his mind. He said no, it was isolated. What did you think of those two hits? Tomlin clearly thinks it was head-hunting because he said, I'll keep my thoughts to myself on that. Did you think it was? Do you think the Browns were going out of their way trying to hurt people?
Well, I think, first of all, that Tomlin's not going to talk about it because it does not benefit him. All the NFL is going to do is, if they think he crossed the line, they're going to fine him for criticizing the officials and criticizing the NFL. So there's no benefit for Tomlin to come out and be critical. Number two, do I think they were head-hunting? I think there was some head-hunting that took place. Now, were they out there trying to head on? I think they were trying to send a message. I think, you know, these teams like the Browns and the Bengals, they're tired of being the little brother. They're tired of getting beat on and losing all the time to the Steelers. So it's like when my 16-year-old fights with my 11-year-old, and my 16-year-old's a lot bigger than my 11-year-old. And 11-year-old every once in a while just take his shot. He wants to say, hey, I can get him right here, so I'm going to take my shot. And that's exactly what happened. And I look at the play where Juju got knocked out of the game. I did not think that was a cheap shot. I think Morgan Burnett came in and put a shoulder in his helmet, which really did the damage. But I don't think that was really egregious, in my opinion. A quarter before that, right, in the middle of the first quarter, Max Smith is his name, the linebacker. He came down when Juju caught the ball, and he led, and he launched and led with his head on Juju one time. It wasn't called. And you heard the crowd go, ooh, you could hear it. When you watch the replay, the hit from Demarius Randall, Cook, that you referred to, That was a Vontaze perfect hit. I mean, he came screaming like a torpedo with a target on Deontay Johnson's head and his helmet right to his head. Exactly what the NFL is trying to get out of the game.
So now we're talking about five of them, because you mentioned one I wasn't aware of early in the game. Juju took two on the same play. Rudolph took one on that play. Yep. And then Randall. It's sort of hard to negate. If you want to argue that they were headhunting, I would have trouble negating that argument.
Yeah, I think if you look at the film closely with a fine-tooth comb, Joe, I bet you can find three or four plays in every game or more where you can say, oh, this team was headhunting. I just think this game is under such a microscope, and there's so many people looking at it that we're talking about it more. But in every NFL game, I believe that there's three or four or five plays where you can say, oh, that's headhunting.
But not a perfect hit.
Not a perfect. That play when Demaryius Randall came screaming across the field on Deontay Johnson was absolutely out of line.
I've never seen anyone bleed from his ear like
that. But that was not an internal bleeding. That was a superficial scratch on his ear.
Okay.
The reason why he was bleeding. That was that. Just so, you know, I saw that too, and it looked really bad on TV. That did not come from his brain.
I can't 100%. Imagine we would have practiced yesterday.
No, 150% that did not come from his brain. That came from a superficial scratch on his ear.
I'm still surprised he was able to go full yesterday. Usually this concussion protocol takes a while.
You know,
Sometimes those things, like we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Everybody's different.
Yeah, with Mason Rudolph a month or so ago when he went down, he was knocked out. You know, everybody reacts differently to those things. And some people respond, you know, very quickly, and some people it takes a long time. So, you know, Deontay Johnson, fortunately, was able to rebound quickly.
Chris Hoke will be with us the whole hour. Still a lot to talk about. The actual game, Mason Rudolph's performance, bunch of things. And the Bengals, which looks like it's going to be the Steelers look like they're going to play competitive games given the state of their offense against everybody at this point.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.